Looking to transform your family game nights? At Perfectly Picked Games, we specialize in family games that bring everyone closer. Our games aren't just fun. Kids and teens will learn how to take turns, develop basic strategy skills, and understand the thrill of winning and grace of losing. With our exclusive gift of games, you can give months of gaming excitement to your family. Choose a 3-month or 6-month gift, and we'll deliver hand-picked family games to your doorstep every month. And here's the best part. Right now, you can use the promo code GOLDENMOJO and receive 20% off your selected plan. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. Use promo code GOLDENMOJO and save 20% today at Perfectly Picked Games.
Jump into the Wayback Machine and go back to the 80s. I am your host, Golden Jay, and with me, as always, Frankie Vegas.
Hey.
And we are here to take you back to one of the greatest decades ever. And now, we're on the clock.
We're on the clock.
What's up, bud?
Hey, not too much. Not too much.
Are you having a good week?
I think so. I mean, I'm just living the dream, man.
Really?
See, I'm learning things about you, like listening to, you know, like Golden Image podcast. Like, I didn't know you were a golfer.
I don't really consider myself a golfer because
did you buy golf clubs?
Yeah.
Then you're a golfer.
Okay, fair. Me and Scotty T, used to have this friend, his name was Chad, and, he was our NASCAR buddy. He was really, really into NASCAR, really, really into Dale Earnhardt, a massive fan. And that was what we did every Sunday after the races were over. We would all jump in the car and head over to Little Bighorn, and we would play 18. And we had some great times out there hanging out. And then I think one of the last times that I had went with Scotty T and his dad, Dick. And that was... How do I put this? My score didn't really come back and be any good, but it was the best day of golfing I had. I enjoyed my time with Richard, and just an amazing. He was an amazing man, and I just enjoyed that time with him. It was one of the best times. And me and him rented the golf cart. Scotty decided he was going to walk, and we just rode the golf cart and made fun of him the entire 18 holes, and it was just so much fun. But yeah, I think my first real outing was there's a local business in Warsaw called Wildman Linens. Okay. And I was buddies with the head of housekeeping at the time, and they invited him to come play in their golf tournament that they had every year at that time. Okay. It was like a best ball or whatever. And they put us on. He's like, "Hey, you want to go?" And I'm like, "Shit, yeah, I've never played golf before, but fuck it, let's go have fun, drink beer, and you know, do stupid shit." But so I got all geared up, and then at the last minute, he bailed out, and I ended up going by myself to this thing, and it was the first time I'd ever actually played on a real golf course. I'd actually went out and you know. Hit like 2 or 3 buckets of balls, you know, over a couple of weeks prior to, because I never played golf before. And I went out and played. And the guys that I ended up with were, amazing people just to hang out with for the day. They taught me, a couple things about what I was doing wrong, obviously, because I didn't play. But, just a fun time going out there and hitting best ball. They actually used my ball a couple of times. I was the best drive on a couple of those. So I was like, fuck, man. But yeah, yeah, going and playing with Scotty and Chad and Dick and all them, and just that's pretty much the roundabout of it. You know, Gunner plays with Lucas and you know, quite a bit, and he's gotten Skylar into it, and Skylar's, you know, all about it. So it's a good time to go out and hang out with them and, yeah, and just you know, bond.
Yeah, I have never played golf. I mean, I've went to driving ranges. Mm-hmm. I played putt-putt, but actually to go out and play, like, you know, 9 holes or 18 holes, I've never done it because I would probably make a complete fool of myself.
You can't be any worse than me throwing clubs.
I mean, the best hit I've ever done at a driving range, usually it's just very, very bad.
Uh-huh.
But I did a 250 one time.
Nice.
And I was very proud of that.
Yes, as well you should be. I
never came close to that ever, even remotely. Yeah, but yeah, I didn't know you I knew you and Brad did the disc golf thing, but you know, because you guys used to have a course set up by my house.
It's true.
Now you can't. It's still there, but you can't see it no more.
No, I drove by when all that construction was going on down there on that bridge, mm-hmm, and that's how I would get from Rochester to Mentone, was to take the back way, and I would drive back down your road, basically, and I'd see that, all those the hours and the money we put into those baskets. You know, Brad had more money in it than I did, but, yeah, you know, just wilting away or, you know, broken off now, you know, some of them are just kind of, yeah, weathered away. But it was a fun idea, you know, that course, and, mm-hmm, you know, but, man, we lost a lot of discs out there in that fucking swamp. Oh my God. You know, because it gets so thick and, you know, you're like digging around through thorns and all kinds of shit. But, yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. We played it many times. But I do miss playing disc golf. Disc golf is a lot of fun because you do get to, you know, you don't have to have that skill like, you know, ball golf.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you go out there and you got to learn how to swing and stuff like that. You know, you go out and you throw 4 or 5 times and you kind of get an idea of what you're going to be able to do and how to manipulate the discs, because they are built a certain way to fly a certain way, and you know which one to throw to, mm-hmm, get where you want, if you want it to dog leg to the left or to the right or whatever the case may be. Yeah. But yeah, disc golf is a lot of fun. Interesting story, Frankie. There is a guy that drives for one of the companies that picks up. I used to pick up a lot of stuff in my warehouse, and I was talking to him one day, and we were talking about, I was really into disc golf at that point, and I was telling him about it, and he's like, oh man, I should try that. Well, I ran into him a couple months ago, and he's like, man, it has changed my life. And he carries discs with him now in his company truck. So if he has a half hour lunch or whatever, and he knows what local course he'll go play. He just told me he just got back from Alaska, helping them set up a course up there because he's been part of the Disc Golf Association. Oh, geez. So he's been helping them set up courses all over the country. And I'm like, damn. He goes, man, I got you to thank for this. And I'm like, yeah, you got me to blame for this, dude. But it's interesting. You know, we were talking about this earlier. You know, the little things. It's the little things that we do that rub off on people that we'll never, ever know.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, talking to this guy about playing disc golf and doing all that and watching him just succeed in everything he's doing with that, or even, you know, on the podcast where we talk about, you know, some mental health issues and, mm-hmm, and some of the great emails we've gotten back about that, too. And, I mean, it really does do our heart good to know that we are, you know, people are hearing us and understanding, and, you know, they have some of the same loves or problems or whatever the case may be that we have. And we have some great listeners out there. It couldn't be, you know,
Yeah, I know.
Very much appreciative.
Yes.
So. Yeah, so there you go, Frankie. You know a little bit more about, what else did you find out about me you didn't know? I mean, I've done like 2 big interviews. news in the last couple months.
I'm trying to think what else. I mean, a lot of the stuff I already knew.
Just, right.
You know, talking with you. Trying to think what I didn't know. I think the golf would like to be. You just never crossed me at the golfer, you know.
You know, man, I'm a CEO of a company now. I got to learn how to golf.
Yeah, how to golf, yeah. Pick the right people out on the course, you know.
That's right. That's right. Got to go out and smooth them a little bit, play a little golf. Oh, God, that sounds daunting. I'll just go play golf. I don't need to smooth anybody. No, it's fun, man. You should try it sometime. It really is. What they say, golf is a beautiful walk ruined by a little white ball.
Yeah. See, I don't think I could because I know in golf, a lot of shoulders, a lot of hips, and my shoulders and hips are both shot.
Listen, Frankie, there are 90-year-old men out there playing golf. I think you could handle it.
Better in better shape than me.
I think you can handle it. I'm actually looking forward to this fucking weather warming up so I can go play a couple more times. I want to see how much I get in this year. And, you know, I was talking to my mom about it the other day. It's like, man, I'm trying to convince my wife that my clubs are broken and I need new clubs.
See, that's another thing. How do you pick the, you know, clubs? How do you know what clubs are? I mean, aren't they all the same, you know?
One would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
No, they're not all the same.
No.
They're a little different.
Yeah.
Some are better than others. I've got, I don't have the cheapest set in the world, but I don't have the most expensive set in the world. Yeah. So,
yeah, I see that in a lot of sport, you know, or a lot of activities like that. Like, what that, where you throw the bean bag in the hole.
Cornhole?
Cornhole.
Yeah.
You know, that just started out trying to throw a bean bag into a hole.
Uh-huh.
Now, and I've talked to people that I know that are very big into it.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and buy different types of bean bag for what you want to use them for. And
right.
I'm like,
yeah, they.
What's the difference, you know? But
yeah,
apparently there is.
The original bags were just, you know, cloth bags with beans in them.
Yeah.
Now the new ones, like one side is slick, one side is rough,
yeah.
You know, if you want it to stick in this particular spot or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
And they're like that. I'm sure disc golf is the same way, you know?
Disc golf is exactly the same way. I mean, we went through a ton of different discs till, you know, everybody had their, what they liked. You know, we all started with a Nova because you could walk into the Meijer and buy a Nova disc, you know, off the shelf,
mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I want a Beast or I want a, you know, a Falcon or whatever. I can't remember all the names of them. And, you know, you get this really cool looking disc and you go out and throw it and it's like, wow, Nova sucks.
Yeah,
so then you move on to disc crap or you moved on to different things. Me personally, I found Prodigy and I loved the Prodigy discs. And I mean, I still have some of the others in my bag, but mainly I throw Prodigy because I like the way that they feel. I like the way that they throw. And, you know, they work. And that's what I stuck with. So, yeah, I think Brad and Gunner both kind of jumped around between a couple different ones. I can't remember the names of them. I know.
Didn't Brad get into? I seem like he had a booth set up at the old in Bourbon at
he
the.
Did.
Yeah, he got into distributing or whatever.
He was. I don't know what exactly he was into as far as distribution and stuff like that. He had. He got into doing prints on the discs themselves,
okay.
And that's what he was kind of working with. And he got really, really good at it. And then for some reason, he just said, okay, I'm done with this and moved on to something else. So, but yeah, he was doing a lot of different prints and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it's funny because I was with him when he started, you know, kind of fiddling with it. And, you know, the original idea was using shaving cream and dye, and the way that you had to set the disc in there on the shaving cream so that the dye would only hit a certain amount, you know, a certain section.
Oh, wow.
And it was crazy. I mean, he ended up getting into actually having a printer that would print his stencils out.
Okay.
And was able to dye them that way. But yeah, he got into it really heavy. He had a lot of stuff going on. And like I said, he got really, really good at it. And then I don't know what happened, but he just stopped doing it and sold all that stuff and moved on to something else. He got into cornhole really heavy, too.
Oh,
so,
did he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was having tournaments at his house. I never made one because every time I had one, every time one was going on, I had something going on, so I never got there. But yeah, there you go.
Very cool.
We need to get you into some little hobby sport there, Frankie.
I went bowling for a while, but that's another one of those that is, you know, you can get all sorts of different, you know, type of balls and, you know, weighted this much or weighted this much. And
look, Frankie, I got 10-pound balls.
I got 10-pound balls.
Listen, man, I love bowling. Once again, not something I'm very good at, but what a lot of fun just to go out there and hang out with people. I don't know. I talk to people that go to tournaments and stuff like that all the time. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, the bowling league I was in, we considered ourselves a drinking league with a bowling problem.
But that's a ton of commitment to be in a bowling league, though, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean,
because it's not like it's 6 or 8 weeks of you know, getting together once or maybe twice a week. You guys went for months and months, didn't you?
Yeah, it's several months. It usually, trying to remember which. I can't remember. It seemed like September to April, something like that.
Right on.
What I'm thinking, if I'm remembering right.
Never on a Sunday, though, right?
No, it's always on a Saturday.
Yeah, because football season is September through April.
Oh, yeah.
Can't be bugging with football.
It's a bowling alley, so the games were on anyway.
Well,
on
there
the
you
TV,
go.
So we'd all be gathered around, you know, watching, you know, whoever they had, Notre Dame or whatever.
I'd say probably Notre Dame, wouldn't
it? Yeah. So everybody be gathered around, wives yelling at it, it's your turn.
Hold on. It's 4th and 1. Oh, shit. Dude, when we used to play Saturday nights at the American Legion there in Warsaw, we would go set up Saturday afternoon. Worst time in the world during college football season.
No,
you got set up. You had to be fucking quiet. You did not warm up, test anything. You had to be quiet while that game was on because those boys were into it. And if you started making noise, they'd be like, turn that shit off. Like, okay. You don't want to piss off the old guys who are watching their fucking football, that's for sure. Yeah.
Hell no.
So, do you have anything for me today?
The question of the pod, I did, but I could not think of anything.
Nothing.
I had something, and I lost it, and I can't remember, you know, what it was. So I apologize. Jeremy, do you have
anything? I'm trying to think if I've got anything on the
80s edition.
Yeah. I guess there's just no question of the pod.
80s edition
today. So suck it, Colton.
Suck it, Colton. Exactly.
No question today. No Frankie's Corner today?
No Frankie's Corner.
Man.
I'm doing good right now.
All right. Well, last week you were wrapped up in the tips and the change.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza.
So
yeah. Well, that just trying to make my job easier.
That's right. Know? Come on, people.
That's all I'm trying to do. If you got to remember to turn my car off, you know, when I come into Golden Jay's house.
We might have gotten a text just a little bit ago from the rocker chick going, does Frankie always leave his car running? So we had to go check that one out. All right, man. I don't know. I think it's crazy.
I hate push start.
Yeah, exactly.
I want a key, man.
I take a key out. The car's not running.
There we go.
There you go. Well, are you ready to get into what we're going to talk about
today?
Oh,
yeah. I'm excited. Get to talk my favorite topic.
Okay.
One of my favorite
I'm going to let you lead this one out then.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Go ahead. I'll let you do the... Because I'm sure you put in time to do a...
You know me.
To do a lead
in. I always have time for a lead in. Yeah. Officially known as the NFL Annual Player Selection Meeting took place in April from the 26th to the 27th of 1983 at the New York Sheraton Hotel in New York City.
New York City?
This meeting is referred to as the quarterback class of 1983. because 6 quarterbacks were taken in the first round. That's right, everybody. We're talking about the 1983 NFL draft.
Gotta love some football.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're in the middle of, or we're at the, wait, at the beginning of April, somewhere in there, and we have no football. We have a shit ton of football news.
Yeah.
But, which reminds me, Justin Fields went to Pittsburgh. Anyway, all right, Frankie.
Suck it, Colton.
All right. On that note, Frankie, take it away.
Yeah, the 1983 draft. Now, the NFL draft is a huge thing.
It is.
I mean, its ratings get better number than some sports championships games. You know, it's a big deal. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I watch it every year. Mm-hmm. I'm usually pissed and yelling and screaming. Like, what the hell?
Why did they trade up to get another quarterback? We got Alex Smith, for Christ's sake.
Experience there.
Yeah, absolutely experienced.
Yeah. And this draft, the 83 draft, was really kind of known because some very big name quarterback came out this year. A thing that I wanted to point out as I'm looking here, uh-huh. out of the first 4 picks, 3 of them have been associated with my Colts.
Yeah, okay, so I see number 2. Number 3?
No, not Kurt Warner. Not that Kurt Warner. I don't know. I don't know. He's pretty old, man. No, it wasn't that Kurt Warner. Chris Hinton.
Chris Hinton, okay.
Yep. Eric Dickerson and John Elway.
Yeah, okay, well, let's break this down.
Oh, okay.
Let's start with pick number 1.
John Elway.
Quarterback from Stanford, chosen by the Baltimore Colts.
And there was no way in hell he was going to play for the Colts. I don't blame him.
So he never went there at all.
No, he was going to go play baseball.
He would have said, fuck it, yeah, I'm a number 1 pick, but I'm not going to go to the Colts.
No.
What was his hang up about going to the Colts?
I don't think he liked the Ursays.
Gotcha.
I think he knew what we know now.
No. Wonder how that played out when he was the big dog in Denver after his playing time, when he was what, general manager or whatever he was. I wonder how that played out. Just curious. It doesn't matter for this podcast.
I don't really know, honestly. But Yeah, he. So the Colts ended up trading him down to the Denver Broncos, and I believe they got Chris Hinton.
Okay.
Who the Broncos drafted at 4. And the rest, John Elway, a Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winning quarterback. Yep. I mean, if you know football, you know John Elway.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the best games to ever come out of the NFL had John Elway involved.
Kansas City knows him real well.
That's true. Joe Montana kicked his ass more often than not.
That is true. You are correct on that.
Uh-huh. One of the biggest comebacks ever for the San Francisco 49ers was a game against Denver in the shootout. Well, didn't they play in the Super Bowl together too, didn't they? Did they play a Super Bowl against each other? God, now you got me thinking about that.
I'd have to go back and look. It seemed like it took Elway forever to get.
It did. You think about it. By the time he won his first one, did they go back to back? And he lost one and then won one and then retired or something like that?
Because it seems like they played the Giants and they got beat.
Yeah.
I can't.
I'm gonna have to let me click on John while you move into the next one here.
I know it's known for its quarterback picks in the draft, but the number 2 pick was one of the greatest running backs to ever play the game for the Los Angeles Rams, Eric Dickerson.
Dickerson.
Yeah, he ended up going to the Colts some years later. Yeah.
But how many years later?
It was some years later. I can't remember how many. I mean, it was.
Because he spent a few years in
oh, yeah, he was
with
in
the
Indy,
Colts.
Yeah, he was in Indy for a while, and, you know, he was. That went just huge, Eric Dickerson coming to Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
Know. Didn't help, but. But we had a name.
Yeah, yeah. Who was your quarterback at the time of that?
But Eric Dickerson? Oh, shit. That could have been.
It could have been. It could have been. It should have been.
I can't. It should have been John Elway, but.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it was the next years when Baltimore became Indianapolis Colts. And
gotcha.
So.
When they snuck out in the middle of the night. And
snuck out in the middle of the night like thieves in the night. But then. Okay, so who do we want to run to next in the draft? If we go to a quarterback coming up. Well, let's go to number 7. That's the next quarterback. And that's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, my God. Let's not talk about
that.
Yeah,
let's talk about that. Let,
you know.
MJ, this is your team. You talk about this one.
So, let me ask you this. Did John Elway really go to 5 Super Bowls?
He must have. If it says, if Wikipedia says he went to 5 Super Bowls,
I
by
just,
God.
I'm looking at Super Bowls, and they got an opponent against the Giants, against the Washington Redskins, against the Niners, against Green Bay, and against Atlanta. And, you know, the first three were losses, and then the last two were wins. Yeah. I was thinking he won two.
He may. I don't remember.
Anyways. Yeah. All right.
Avoiding Kansas City draft pick.
Kansas City with the number 7 pick in the 1983 NFL draft choose quarterback from Penn State, Todd Blackledge. Who the fuck is that?
Apparently, they thought he was better than a few of these other guys we're going to talk
about. Oh, my God. Okay, you guys understand that I said it, with the 7th pick, the number 7 pick, Kansas City takes this Todd Blackledge. Now, honestly, I mean, I've been a Chiefs fan for a long time. I was not a Chiefs fan in 83, so I did not see this draft. I did not know. I've never heard this guy's name come up. And he is picked 7th over the number 14th pick, over the number 27th pick. Unfucking believable that we let some of these other quarterbacks drop who turned out to be legends to pick up Todd Blackledge. Listen, he was a bust. There's no doubt about it. He spent most of his time in the backup role. I'm trying to think who he backed up. He served mainly as a backup to Pro Bowl quarterback Bill Kenny in Kansas City. Okay. So I don't think he only had.
Okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
If they had a Pro Bowl quarterback, why the hell did they draft a quarterback that high?
That's a good question. You know, Lamar had something in mind.
Oh, I'm sure.
He was feisty like that. I'm just saying. I don't know. I don't know why they did that. I just don't know. Maybe they thought that he was the next thing and that he was going to be taken over. So.
I mean, yeah. You know, I didn't pay much attention to football back in 83.
Right.
So, I mean, he may have been an awesome in college. I don't know. I haven't.
Here is a really interesting fact that I didn't know. So Todd was, he was the last quarterback drafted in the first round by the Chiefs until Patrick Mahomes three decades later.
Yeah, they learned something.
They did learn something, see?
I don't draft a damn quarterback that high.
He must have been somewhat good. He was he was the 1983 Sugar Bowl. He was the MVP of the game.
Yeah.
Threw for 228 yards and a fourth quarter 47-yard touchdown. So, I mean, it wasn't like it. Apparently he wasn't a horrible quarterback in college, but there you go. Anyways, can we move on from the
Chiefs? Yeah, yes, we can move on. Okay, the next one on my head, not a quarterback, but at number nine, the Houston Oilers take offensive tackle out of USC, Bruce Matthews.
Bruce Matthews.
Yeah, this dude was a big dude. Very, one of the things that a lot of offensive linemen, they're kind of, that's what they're measured against is what he was.
Right on.
And, you know, I just wanted to give him because he, as far as offensive line, he's one of the big names of the game. So let's go down to the next quarterback taken at number 14 out of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
From the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly. Now, Jim Kelly, he's another one of those that just, he couldn't win a Super Bowl. He could sure in the hell get to him, but he could not win him for nothing. So that's just the Buffalo Bills.
Jim Kelly, is he the only quarterback to go to four consecutive Super Bowls?
He ain't got to be.
And lose four consecutive Super Bowls?
That is just unbelievable how that happened.
He had a Hall of Fame career, and he is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he never got a ring.
Never got a ring.
Nope. Spent all that time in Buffalo, never got a ring.
But
he could almost lick one. He was so close.
Now, do you think had say Kansas City picked him instead of Todd Blackledge that thing could have been different for Kansas City in the early years, like in the 80s?
Maybe. I mean, you know, we had David Krieg back in those days. Was David, right?
Yeah, David Krieg. And he wasn't bad.
No, he was a good quarterback. It just wasn't the time, at that point. I mean, we traded with the San Francisco to get Joe Montana in the early 90s. Even Joe Montana couldn't get him to the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, this is a four-time Super Bowl champion, a three-time MVP, quarterback. It couldn't even get him there. So something just wasn't right at the time. So I don't know if Jim Kelly would have made that much of a difference at that point. I mean, it could have, I suppose. But, we'll never know.
And I've always said that one player doesn't necessarily make a team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes, as good as he is, I don't think he could do it by himself. I don't think you could just surround him with a bunch of average Joe players.
I know what you're saying, but, this last season, I mean, Travis did not have another 1,000-yard season.
No.
I mean, he was 16 yards short. He could have had it if he'd have played the last game.
Oh, he made a bigger score than anything he could have done on the field.
the wide if you take Travis out of the mix, the wide receiving core for Mahomes was not very good this last season. Mm. He had Travis. He had a couple guys who could catch it, maybe, any given Sunday, I guess, on whether they could catch a ball. His offensive line did a really good job for him, minus the whole Taylor thing, with his false starting and all of his penalties. But, I mean, Patrick Mahomes made things happen that necessarily weren't going to happen. Now, I agree with you. It takes more than one player to make a team. But damn, Mahomes gives you a fucking sheet to work with.
I'm not doubting that. But, he also had, and maybe it's not the most talked about running cool running back.
Right,
for.
Right.
But
right.
Isaiah Pacheco is an awesome running back.
Yeah.
And so you got to respect him.
Absolutely.
You know, and those receivers, they can be, like you said, they can catch a ball.
If they decide they want to.
Yeah. You know,
depending on what day it was.
So, and even if, and Kelce, even if he's having a bad season, you still got to account for him out there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, even our worst team can still beat your best team.
Yeah.
Unless you're the Colts.
Okay. But yeah, but
they
Jim
could be the
Kelly.
Worst fucking team. They still beat the Chiefs.
They still beat the Chiefs. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, Jim Kelly, obviously Hall of Fame quarterback.
Absolutely.
He's an okay announcer, but
I have not heard him announce, thank God.
He kind of, when he at first retired, him and Jim Harbaugh had an issue, and so he hated the Colts.
Oh, okay.
And he did very bad whenever he was doing a Colts game. He was very one-sided.
Right.
And, I mean, that's not, I don't think he's that bad now when he does thing, but.
I don't know that I've ever heard him announce. Maybe I have and didn't realize it.
Well, he's been sick, so, he hasn't done much. But, okay, let's go on to the next quarterback at number 15 from Illinois, drafted by the New England Patriots, Tony Eason. And he led him to a Super Bowl.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did they win it?
Did they win it? Oh, no, they got their asses handed to them. By Colton Keel Bears.
No. Oh, was that the year that they went to? Okay.
Yeah.
See, they learned something new.
Yeah. But, I mean.
Eason doesn't even ring a bell.
Yeah, he was the quarterback for the Patriots when they played the Bears in the Super Bowl.
No shit.
Yeah.
See, I learned something new
with
today.
With his backup. No.
With his backup? Who was his backup?
I don't know. I was going to try to be funny and say Brady, but, he's not that old.
Oh, that is funny. That is funny.
Okay, let's see. We go down. I don't really know much about Tony Eason. I just know he did actually go to a Super Bowl, and he got a little bit of merit as a quarterback, I guess.
Good deal. Good deal. I do want to chime in a little bit on number 18 there.
Number 18. All right, call it.
The Chicago Bears at number 18 choose wide receiver from Tennessee, Willie Gault. Yeah. Now, I don't know a ton about Willie Gault. Obviously, he was, I'm assuming, part of the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl shovel.
Yeah.
But, I mean, didn't he have a boy that come up, Willie Gault Jr., that played like a defensive linebacker or something like that years later?
You know, now that you say that, that sounds familiar, but I'm not real sure. But I think he was just drafted for his singing ability because they knew they were going to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
They were way ahead of themselves.
No, he was a good receiver. Was he? I'm not sure if he's in the Hall of Fame or not. I would imagine he probably is.
I would think he would be if he was with the Bears and you never know. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know a ton about him, but I just know that name is very familiar and he needed to be a shout out. So,
okay, let's see. Go down. Do you see any other before we hit the next quarterback?
Hold on. Let me. I'm just Gary Anderson threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I thought that was the kicker.
Yeah, it's actually a running back from Arkansas. He was drafted at number 20. Gil Bird, cornerback and was drafted by the San Diego Chargers. Yeah. There is Ken O'Brien. Is that where we're going next?
Ken O'Brien. Yep.
Number 24.
Out of UC Davis. Drafted by the New York Jets, Ken O'Brien.
Ken O'Brien.
I don't know anything about him. I mean, I've heard his name. I don't know how successful he's been or anything like that. He played for the Jets and the Eagles.
he played for him. He played from him. From 84 to 92 with the Jets, then played for the Eagles in 93, and then looks like he retired after that. But Looks like his 85 year was a decent year. Had a 96.2 rating, 16 for 16, 11-5 record, 297 completions for 3,888 yards with 25 touchdowns and only 8 interceptions. Wish you could say the next thing about the next year when he went. He played 15 of. But I don't understand that. 16 of 16 year before that. Just 15 of 14. Went 8-6. 25 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. He's had an up and down career, that was for sure, with the Jets. But who didn't have an up and down career? Yeah, with the Jets?
He was doomed when he got drafted by. It's like being a quarterback getting drafted by the Browns. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Or the Bears.
It was fun while it lasted, you know.
So yeah, there you go, Ken O'Brien. I don't know if you guys remember him, but I'm sure I probably got some football cards of his.
The next quarterback, I don't know. I haven't heard of him. He was out of Pittsburgh. He was drafted number 27 by the Dolphins.
Now, remember what I said earlier about Kansas City taking Todd at number 7. 20 picks later, we let this guy slide. How come he was not in Kansas City? I'll never know.
He was Dan Marino.
God, Dan Marino.
Maybe the greatest quarterback to never win a Super Bowl.
Well, you know, you can put him and Jim Kelly up next to each other.
I think most people, they put Dan Marino on top.
Dan Marino carried more records.
Yeah. I think it's because... But I can see the argument for Kelly because how many times he went to the Super Bowl and just could not get it done.
Yeah.
You know, Marino only went, once, twice maybe?
I know he went once because he got his ass handed to him by Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Montana has beat the best.
Oh, yeah.
In the Super Bowl. Let's take a look here at Dan Marino's stats. I don't even know if you want to look at the stats. But I'm sure. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. These most season leading league passing attempts, most seasons leading league's lowest sack percentage, most consecutive season leading league lowest sack percentage, lowest sack percentage season in 88. I mean, Monday Night Football passing yards. 9,654 most completions on Monday Night Football of 7. I mean, these are active records, and then the list of his former records are just unbelievable. Most touchdown passes in a season, 48 in 1984, surpassed by Manning, 49 in 2004, and Brady at 50 in 2007, and then by Manning, 55 in 2013. I love that shit, man. But, I mean, the list is unbelievable of all the records that he's had. Now, some of them, you know, it's like, really, Monday Night Football, most touchdown passes, 74. Really, we keep track of that shit, but it's a record. So, and it's still active until, looky there. Most games, 4 or more touchdown passes, season six, 1984. Tied by Peyton Manning in 2004, surpassed by Patrick Mahomes in 2018. 200 touchdown passes and fewest games to start career with 89, September of 89, surpassed by Patrick Mahomes in 2023. Now I can do this all day long.
Hey, that Mahomes, getting home, did pretty good.
He might be all right. Yeah. They do not give his Super Bowl stats. There is no Super Bowl stats on this this page. Go figure that one.
Yeah, Dan Marino, he is one of the GOATs, no doubt about it. It's just too bad he never got that ring, you know. I mean,
listen, we talked about we talked about I think it was in Ian Chiefs fans about Mahomes and everybody saying he's now the GOAT.
Yeah.
And I am a firm believer until you have as many rings as Tom Brady has, he's not even close to becoming the GOAT because Brady has – I know Mahomes has records.
Yeah.
He's doing amazing things, and he's still very young in the National Football League. But when he puts a seventh ring on his finger, then we can talk about Mahomes being the GOAT because of what Brady has done. And those are the most important pieces of a very successful GOAT career.
Well, and Brady and Peyton Manning have done things that, you know, they've set a bar so high now. You know, because you'd be, okay, how many rings do you got? Okay, can you go to another team and win a Super Bowl at a high level? Not just as a backup? They both did that.
Yep.
So now, you know, and they just added on, you know, okay, you're going to have to do this now to prove yourself. So even if Mahomes got the seven rings, yeah, he's still going to be right up there with them. But then you're always going to have that asshole like me saying, yeah, but did he win a Super Bowl with the second team?
Asshole.
You know.
Listen, man, I can't argue with you on that point. I am a firm believer that we need to take the GOAT talk off the table when you're talking about Patrick. I mean, he's an amazing quarterback, and there's no doubt. And we're in the middle of a dynasty. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tom Brady is right now, and this is not a pick on Peyton Manning, or doesn't he have as many rings as Eli Manning? I mean, I'm just saying. That one hurts a little bit, doesn't it, Frankie?
Yeah. But who did Eli beat for his rings?
Oh, I don't even know. I can't wrap top of my head. I can't tell
you. You don't know who Eli beat in both of his Super Bowls?
In both of them?
Yeah.
He beat Brady, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Who did Peyton beat? Russell Wilson was one of them,
Wilson was one of them. The first one, the Bears. I don't even remember who the hell the Bears quarterback was.
Oh, was that Rex Grossman?
Was it Rex
Grossman? Is it Rex Grossman, or was that the guy from the Bears that beat?
I can't remember which
one. No, that's Roger Grossman. If you're local to us and you're laughing your ass off right now, I'm just saying. It was Rex Grossman.
Oh, we love you, Roger.
I don't know you, but, you know, I have respect.
But, yeah, I can't remember. And then, who was the second one in? I know. I can't even hide.
The Colts beat the Bears. And then Denver beat Seattle, right?
Beat Seattle.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are the only Nope, I'm going to bite my tongue right there because I don't even know. Listen.
I think it might be. Did he win? Yeah, I know he went to two in Denver.
Let's see if there's Peyton Manning stats why everybody's yelling at their radio right now.
Because the one. I know the one Denver won was not because anything Peyton Manning did.
Yeah.
That was like his last one. I think it was all defense.
Okay, here we go. So Manning went to the Super Bowl and beat the Bears in 2006, correct?
Yeah.
They also went to the Super Bowl in 2009 and got beat by New Orleans.
New Orleans.
They went. They went. Drew Brees, who dat? They went again in 2013 and lost to the Seattle Seahawks. And that was Denver.
Yeah.
And then went back to the Super Bowl in 2015 and beat the Carolina Panthers. So yeah, I was close.
Was that Cam Newton?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Cam Newton. Yep. It doesn't say right here, but I'm pretty sure that's Cam. And I loved every time I got to watch Cam Newton fucking sit on the bench and pout like a little prissy bitch. Oh, man, throw out your Superman now, you fucking. You know, there's players I respect players, and then there's players that I just don't like at all. Cam Newton's one of those players. Yeah. Ugh, God, he frustrates me. Yeah. But yeah, man, Peyton Manning went to the Super Bowl four times.
Four times.
He lost two, won two.
How many Super Bowls have you been to, Jeremy?
How many?
Yeah.
In the last 5 years, we've been to four. We've okay, won three.
Are you under contract with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I am. My contract just came up, and I re-upped my contract.
He's on the trade block with the Colts. He comes with Janarius. I couldn't even say.
Will my tickets transfer?
I couldn't even say it with a straight face. I'm sorry.
We have been to four of the last 5 years. No, my big,
and well deserved.
My funny part would be because Peyton won the one in 2006, and then it took him a few years to get back. But Eli had actually won two somewhere in there. I can't remember if it was one before and one after. But Eli actually had two rings to Peyton's one ring.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, I wonder what Thanksgiving was like. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that was fun.
Anyways, okay. So I don't know how we got on the Peyton Manning kick. We were on Dan Marino, right?
We were talking about greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time, baby. There you go.
And people like to put Dan Marino in that conversation, but you got the purists that are like, nope, didn't win a Super Bowl, can't be in the conversation.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, I don't know that I'm a purist, yeah. But I mean.
I understand that argument, you know.
I do. I mean, if you go back and look at every record he has or has had at one point, you know, most wins in different stadiums with 31. He got surpassed by Brett Favre in 2008. You know, who has all these records at one point before he? Do we know when he retired? I'm gonna say 1999 was his last season. So I mean, you know, even before the 2000s, records. I mean. Unbelievable. There's probably 30 records here that he held at one time that wasn't even surpassed until Manning and Brady come along. I didn't see Eli's name in any of this.
No, Eli, and not taking anything away from him, he happened to be on the right team at the right time.
He had a lot of support around him, so yeah.
So, and I mean, where when you look at players like the Peyton Manning, the Tom Brady, the Patrick Mahomes, like we were talking about, sometimes they've got to make things happen that necessarily not going to happen with an average quarterback, right. You know.
Listen to this one, Frankie. Lowest percentage pass interception rookie season. He held this at in 1983. He held that record. So lowest percentage passes to interceptions in his rookie season. Passes to interceptions. You got that? Mm-hmm. 1983. He was surpassed in 1998 with an average of 1.98 for the rookie season by Charlie Batch of Detroit.
Charlie Batch.
How's that for a name from the past?
Oh, my goodness.
That is unbelievable. Unfucking believable. Anyways, Dan Marino. You love him, you love him. He could be the GOAT, he could not be the GOAT, you know. Take it for whatever you want, but yeah. All right, back to
a damn good quarterback.
He was a damn good quarterback. And because of him, I had to wear Miami Dolphins shit on a New Year's Eve gig one time because I lost a bet. They beat the Chiefs, and I had to wear Dolphin shit the whole gig that night. I got drunk and threw up in the parking lot. I want to hit on 28 real quick. I think probably one of the greatest cornerbacks to ever play the game comes out of Texas. Is that A&I?
That is what it says.
A&I. Number 28, the Washington Redskins choose Darryl Green. I mean, he was a staple back in those days. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. But yeah, there you go. Yeah. That 28. That was all there was to be drafted in 1983.
Yeah.
We have now went to what, 32?
Yeah.
So four teams have been added. So more guys are getting in the NFL. Do you want to breeze into anything in round two there, Frankie?
Yeah, I was looking. I didn't. And there, I was trying to see when the next quarterback was drafted, because like there was six of them in round one, and I am not. Wow, I'm in four, and I still ain't seeing nothing.
I'm just looking over some of these names to see if anything kind of pops out. Oh, there we go. Pick number 49, San Francisco 49ers choose running back from Nebraska, Roger Craig.
Oh, yeah, Roger Craig.
Yep.
Yep, he had some Super Bowl moments.
Yes, he did. Lots of them. Did he go to all four of them with Joe? Possibility.
Probably. I'm going to say that's a very good chance that he did.
It could happen. It could happen. Kansas City at the 61 pick took out cornerback Albert Lewis. He's a chief staple from the back in the day. Drafted in 83. I don't know, man. There's a lot of names here. Don't know that I know all these guys.
Okay.
Yes.
The next quarterback I found was at pick 137.
Okay.
Out of Eastern Illinois, drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, Jeff Christensen.
Mm.
But, you know, how bad do you got to feel about yourself when second quarterback go in the first round and you don't even go until
the fourth round
or something like that, fourth, 137, wherever that is.
Oh, it's in five. Is it in five? Yeah. It's in five, yep.
Ah.
I don't know, man. You know, it is what it is, but yeah, that's insane. Lots of wide receivers going in the late rounds. You would think that some of these would pop out at you there, bud. Nothing seems to be on the block.
At 167, I don't know why I remember this name, but I think I had a football card with Reggie Roby. He was a punter out of Iowa, drafted by Miami. 167.
Right on.
So I did remember that name, and I don't know why.
Oh, anyway, Frankie, let's jump back just a little bit, and let's just remind everybody that the 1983 NFL draft, also known as the quarterback draft, produced several really good quarterbacks for a lot of years.
Yes.
And you know, I'm sure that if we spent some time actually going through each one of these names of the, what is it? I'm going to go down the 335 picks that went out in those 2 days. And now we've actually moved the draft into 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm sure that we would run across more names that we actually were familiar with.
Oh, pick 203 out of Tennessee State from the Chicago Bears, Richard Dent.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, one of the GOATs, man. He is awesome. And he was a very low pick, so you never know.
Listen, right after the Chicago Bears picked at 203, the Kansas City Chiefs picked at 204. They took Irv Eatman, tackle from UCLA. Sorry, man. I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the 1983 NFL draft, ranking?
First round was, you know,
pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing of what you got out of that. I mean, you don't see that too often now, you know. A lot of picks, you know. Some of the better players are coming in the later round nowadays, or later picks.
Isaiah Pacheco.
Round seven.
Round seven.
Round seven.
You're not wrong. I don't want to say that the talent is getting better, because, you know, I don't know a lot of those names in the later list, but, it just seems like you know, there is as much talent in the seventh round as there is in the first round these days. And, you know, we're starting to see it more and more and more. So I don't know if that's a, I don't know what it is.
I don't know. So. I mean, it's, I think just as a whole, the talent of athletes is just better.
Right.
As a whole. I mean, trying to look at, I got a list of the Hall of Fame inductee from the draft pit, from the draft. So you got Eric Dickerson, Jim Kelly, John Elway, Dan Marino, Bruce Matthews, Darryl Green, Richard Dent, and Jim Covert. We're all in the NFL. Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Hall of Fame?
I have not. I would love to.
It's an amazing place. I was there back in 95, and I need to get back. It's one of those things that's on my to-do list, and it's just an amazing place, and you get to see all of your favorite players and, you know, different things like that. It's a lot like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, you get to see a lot of the cool shit that you would never get to see just kind of on display, so... All right, Frankie, let's wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up.
So there you go. That is the 1983 NFL Draft. And, man, what a fun thing to talk about, really.
I love the NFL Draft. Are you gonna
do,
do you watch it?
I do.
I watch it.
I definitely sat down to watch the first round. If I can get to the second and third rounds on Friday, then I'll try. Usually I'm kind of – just kind of leafing through, you know, Yahoo News or Google News or whatever, whenever I can get the NFL news on, just to see who's kind of went. I would love one of these days to go down to Indy to the combine and just do the combine. I think that'd be a lot of fun, but haven't reached that point yet. So maybe one of these days we'll get down there. I don't know how much fun it'll be to watch, but I know I enjoy watching some of it on TV. I did not go to the NFL draft last year, although, you know, it being in Kansas City after coming off of a Super Bowl win, you know, that does never, that one of those rarities, you know, it's kind of like playing the Super Bowl in your home stadium.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tampa Bay. If you know, you know. I love the draft. I usually watch all of the first round. I usually get yelled at by my wife, are you still watching that? You know, and then the next day when I flip it on the big TV, and then she gets really mad. It's okay to watch it on a Thursday night in my bedroom with the doors closed, but when I bring it out to the big TV, I have actual pictures of her with a scowl on her face. And the caption says, he made me watch the draft.
Oh, I love the draft. I'm sorry. I can't say it enough. I love watching the draft.
You get to know these players that are coming in, and you kind of get a chance to watch them, and then you get to know if they're actually playing or not. You know, sometimes it ain't till the second year, and you're like, oh, God, I remember him when he got drafted last year. Or, you know, that's why I love preseason so much, because you get to see these guys play. And you get to understand, you know, how hard it is to come from a college team to an NFL team, and this, the difference in the speeds, you know, and stuff like that. So,
And they're obviously, you know, and I know a lot of times, you know, we all like to play, you know, the armchair GM, you know, and say, what the hell? Why did you draft this guy?
Right, right.
Well, obviously, this guy's good. You know, right. He obviously did something that made him look like a.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, those guys make a lot more money, make a lot bigger decisions than us. Mm-hmm. We are our armchair quarterbacks every fucking Sunday, so we can sit here and spout, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. I would have done this. No, you wouldn't have. You don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah, you don't know.
It's all part of the game. We all are armchair quarterbacks.
Every one of us.
All right, Frankie.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Golden 80s Podcast. I don't want to mess it up again this week. We really appreciate it. Give us a shout-out, thegoldenimage80s@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. You know Frankie loves to communicate with all of our listeners, so send him an email. If you like us, maybe you like some of the other stuff that's in the Golden Mojo Empire, which you can find at our website, Golden Mojo ENT. That includes the Call Guys, a Golden Image podcast, the United States Paranormal, Indiana Chiefs fans, Murderers, A Court of Books and Booze. That's right. All those, Golden Mojo ENT, or wherever you like to listen to your favorite streaming podcasts. go check us out. Check out our merch store. Send a little love. Buy a shirt. Frankie bought a shirt. It looks amazing. He's so proud of this shirt.
I am.
Do you wear it when you're out delivering pizzas?
No, I gotta wear my.
You gotta wear a standard uniform. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. We have to get you like a little pin or something to put on there. You know. All right, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again next week.
All right.
Later.
See ya.